forest fire of 1980. As I remember, it was Wednesday, October 14th, 1980, that our teacher, Gertrude Clark, left little kids out for noon at 11:30. Shortly, they came to the door and told the teacher about a fire in the swamp back of the school near Mud Creek. After looking it over, the teacher dismissed school for the day and went over to Mrs. Hammond's, where she boarded. Shortly, Mrs. Hammond came over to the school and urged all of us kids to go home at once. And then she and her mother, Mrs. Davis, and the teacher headed for Carp Lake, about a half mile away. Mrs. Hammond was desperately afraid of fire, and she knew that if necessary, they could go out into the lake and be saved, regardless of her nice house and barn. Some of us boys stayed at the school and rang the bell several minutes and ate our lunch. In time, a few men came and watched around the school and Page's buildings, which were a few rods east. The schoolhouse was built on a stone wall about 2 feet high, therefore was not in too much danger. The school woodshed was a few feet east of the school and was built of lumber right down to the ground, which increased the danger. An interesting sidelight is that my brother Arthur had put in a bid to furnish one cord of cedar wood for kindling for $3, which had been delivered to this woodshed shortly before the fire. His greatest worry was that this cord of wood might burn up along with the woodshed before he got his $3, which was a lot of money in those days. The Page buildings were of logs from the ground up and therefore were in a much more precarious position. I don't remember what Page's water supply was, but I remember pumping water at the school pump, and the men carried it over to the Protect Page's building. We saw several rabbits fleeing from the fire. The wind was taking the fire northeast and missing Mrs. Hammond's building entirely. By about 4 o'clock, the fire danger around the school corner was over, and my brother Arthur and I and Earl Gerard started home. Earl lived with his grandfather, Mr. Clement, 1 mile east of the school, and our family lived 1/4 mile north of there. The land was cleared on both sides of the road 1/4 mile from the schoolhouse. But from there on, it was swamp timber for a half mile or more on both sides of the road. By the time we started home, the fire was close to the road on the south side, and the smoke was thick for about 1/4 mile. The three of us ran through about 1/8 of a mile of this fire and smoke, and then we stopped. Earl and I wanted to turn back, and Art insisted on going on, hoping to get through it shortly. The result was that Art and I continued on, and Earl turned back and walked about 3 miles rather than take a chance on getting through that smoke and fire. Art and I got home safely shortly, and Earl came along about an hour later. The Della Martyr family came within minutes of burning out slick and clean that night. Our buildings consisted of the frame house on the top of the hill, which A.L. Knowlton built in 1906. On the brink of the hill was the 12 by 36 foot chicken house, which Elmer built of cement in 1907. In front of the chicken house, halfway down the hill, was the old log house, supported by its prop. This log house had a lean-to on the north side, which was built of lumber, and the roof was covered with tarred paper. At the foot of the hill was the old log barn with a shake roof. A few feet south of the barn was a stack of hay. I mention these things as they played such an important role in whether we burned out or not. The wind was from the southwest, which was taking the fire to the northeast. West of the log barn was 6 acres of wheat stubble, and beyond that was 20 or 30 acres of swamp, which was covered with tamarack and cedar, which had been down for several years. This made wonderful kindling, as it was crisscrossed on top of each other, 2 or 3 feet high in places. Our sugar bush was northwest of the house. In the sugar bush was a new sugar house, which was built the year before to house a new Champion evaporator. Our father was away that week, and his mother was living with us at the time. The three of us, younger children, went to bed at the usual time, but our brother Elmer and our mother, perhaps realizing the fire danger, remained up. Our mother woke us two boys up at 11 o'clock and told us that we would have to help Elmer fight fire. She said that he was in the sugar bush and we should go and help him. We started there, but the fire and smoke was so thick that we were hunting for another way to go. About that time, Elmer broke out of the woods and said that the sugar house was a goner. He had used the barrel of water that we had there, but it was hopeless. For a time, Art and I sat on a big box at the west end of the cement chicken house and enjoyed the fire, which was in the swamp southwest of our buildings, not realizing the danger our buildings were in. It was a beautiful sight, and it was so light that we could read the newspaper even at that distance. The fire was snapping and cracking in that kindling. Shortly we noticed sparks flying and setting the wheat stubble on fire. This would burn a rod or two and go out, and then another and another. Elmer decided to plow a furrow next to the stubble to protect our buildings. Then he had us pump water and fill everything that would hold water. Our main points of danger were the haystack and the lean-to on the log house. If a spark got in either and was not noticed for a few minutes, they would be goner. This was especially true of the haystack. If it burned, the barn was sure to go, and then the log house and the other buildings were right in line. Elmer was the hero that night. as he organized everything. He saw to it that there were pails of water at certain places, and we all knew where they were. Then he had Art and I patrol different areas and to let him know in case of trouble. This we did until the smoke got too thick, and then we would go a few rods to the east out of the smoke to get some fresh air for a minute. In time, Art discovered a fire starting on the roof of the lean-to in the old tar paper. This lean-to was built into the hill and was partly underground. Therefore, it was easy to get to the fire, so it was soon put out. In time, Art discovered a fire starting in the haystack, which was soon put out with Elmer's help. At the height of the fire, our grandmother coaxed our mother to leave the house and head for safety. But our mother refused, hoping that our house would be saved. By about 2 o'clock, the main danger was over, and Elmer went to see if the sugar house was still there. Sure enough, it was, and he came running back and said, "Give me 2 pails of water, and I can save it." He went back with the water and used it where he thought it was necessary and came back thinking he had saved it. In the morning, before starting the chores, he went up to look and found it had burned down. Not only that, but it had burned the blocks out from under the rear legs of the evaporator, which allowed it to twist out of shape. So we were lucky to get through that fire with that little loss. When our father got home at the end of the week, he told us that the town of Metz had been burned out that same week. I don't know whether Dad ever realized how near we were to that same fate. Metz destroyed by forest fire. In researching the Metz fire, I checked with the Weather Bureau and got the following figures on rainfall in October. Alpena, 30-year average, 2 and 42 hundredths. October 19-8, 98 hundredths. Sheboygan, 30-year average, 2 and 48 hundredths. October 19-8, 46 hundredths. Mackinac, 30-year average, 2 and 58 hundredths. October 19-8, 5,700. The following was taken from the Bay City Times, Friday, October 16, 1908. Big headlines. Northern forests, a veritable inferno. Many are dead. Relief train out of Metz, loaded with refugees, ditched by burned out culvert and destroyed. All reports agree that nearly score perished. Wires are down and fate of a great many others unknown. Metz, a town of 100 inhabitants, 25 miles north of Alpena, was destroyed by fire yesterday afternoon. 2 survivors, burned to blindness, crept on hands and knees into Posen, 8 miles away from fatal scene. relief train sped through Metz yesterday afternoon, got the people of the town on board, together with what household effects they could hastily assemble, and started north toward Sheboygan. It was estimated that it carried 300 people out of Metz. They, being residents of the village and farmers and their families who were driven into town before the flames. At Hawk Station, it was found impossible to proceed further on account of the fire on both sides of the track. The woods at that point came up to the railroad right away. Seeing that it would be futile to go toward Sheboygan, the train started on its way back to Alpena. It was about 11 o'clock last night, and the smoke was so intense and stifling that the train crew could not see any distance ahead. Near a point called Nowicki, 3 miles from Metz, the fire had leaped across the right-of-way of the railroad, burned out one of the culverts, and spread the rails. Unable to see the impending danger, the engineer could not reverse the engine to avoid an accident, and the train went into the ditch. Here it lay helpless and was devoured by the flames, many persons being burned to death with it, according to reports. Another heading. The conductor and station agent at Metz have managed to get into Posen, and both are badly burned. The fireman and brakeman were burned to death. The remains of 17 persons are reported to have been found in a steel coal car, but there is no way, with the wires all down, of telling the exact condition of affairs at the scene. Same paper, Saturday, October 17, 1908. Village of Metz, Bolton, and Cathedral obliterated by ravages of forest fire, great property lost. List 22 as dead. The Kemp family near Metz fought the fire all day Thursday, but finally the barn and then the house burned. The bodies of the father, mother, and 2 children were found yesterday. The 3rd child is missing. John Cesarski, farmer living 5 miles from the village, and his wife and 3 children perished.